Thank you. I'd like to welcome everyone and thank you for coming this afternoon to hear the presentations on manure applications and crop response. I'd like to start off and just acknowledge my committee members and my co-authors, Dr. Israel, Crozier, and Brake of NC State University, and Dr. McGuire of Virginia Tech. To go ahead and jump into this, we have approximately 60 million broiler breeders produced every year to produce 9 billion broilers in the United States. With this this collection of birds, we have a large amount of manure produced, and specifically phosphorus. And when we look at a total estimation, we have just over 114,000 metric tons of elemental phosphorus produced every year from these birds. With most of these broiler manures and broiler breeder manures being applied to the land, we have the opportunity, or shall I say, the consequence of phosphorus runoff, leading to algal blooms, leading to eventually fish kills. We all know the story. I just wanted to kind of reiterate that. To address this issue, we've begun to look at diet modifications in the broilers themselves. A few studies a number of years back looked at adjusting the diet phosphorus targets. We have in green the standard phosphorus target in the diet, whereas in the yellow we have standard phosphorus target is realized through the addition of phytase. The organic phosphorus in grain, the phytate, is not well digested by the birds themselves. They don't hydrolyze, they don't secrete the phytase, so if you add the phytase to these diets, you're able to utilize more of that organic phosphorus. So that's what we have in yellow. And then in purple, we have just a lower target phosphorus in the diet overall. So we're actually reducing the amount of phosphorus supplied in the diet itself. Through these diet modifications, we've seen anywhere from 21 to 24% reduction in manure phosphorus just through the addition of phytase. If you have a lower phosphorus target plus that phytase, in the broilers we've seen 29 to 42% reduction. So it's very, very significant reductions through diet modifications and to help with the environmental implications of land application of these manures. So our objectives were to quantify broiler breeder manure phosphorus reductions from diet modifications very similar to these, determine broiler breeder manure phosphorus availability to corn, and then also to determine any influence the calcium to phosphorus ratio in the manure itself has on corn phosphorus uptake. This study was done in collaboration with the Poultry Science Department in NC State, where broiler breeders, as we have pictured here, are growing in their own individual experimental pens, and the manure is collected underneath this elevated table, which has holes for the manure to drop straight through. So this is what you could say a pure product of manure. There's no wood chips whatsoever in this manure. Four diets were utilized in this study, where we looked at two available phosphorus rates. We have the standard at 0.4% available phosphorus, which is regarded as standard phosphorus diet. The standard phosphorus plus phytase, we have that realized by 0.4% available phosphorus through the addition of phytase. So we're reducing the total phosphorus in the feed by increasing the amount of organic phosphorus that's digestible by the birds. Very similarly, in the low phosphorus diets, we have the target at 0.22% as a low phosphorus diet. The low phosphorus plus phytase has that same availability of 0.22%, but we have a lower total phosphorus in the diet. So in this case, no dicalcium phosphate was added to the diet. This is strictly from the grain. And what we see in just a quick slide with the manure phosphorus concentration, we have the standard phosphorus diet on the y-axis going to standard phosphorus plus phytase, low phosphorus target, plus the low phosphorus plus phytase. As you see, with each diet, we're seeing a nice steady decrease in manure phosphorus concentration. So very similar to the broiler data that I've already presented. Concurrently, we're seeing an increase in the calcium to phosphorus ratio in the manure. So the calcium level in the waste itself is the same. You're reducing phosphorus in the manure. Thus, you have an increase in the calcium to phosphorus ratio. This brings us to the corn and soil response study, where we looked at corn grown in the Portsmouth fine sandy loam. This soil was collected from the lower coastal plain of North Carolina. It has an inherently low phosphorus concentration. The study was conducted in the greenhouse, where we maintained moisture at 50% container capacity. Pioneer G91 G96 was planted in the greenhouse, where the study was conducted over the 28 days after emergence. Treatments were randomized in a complete block design with four replications. We had four phosphorus rates at 7.5, 15, 30, and 60 milligrams of phosphorus per kilogram of dry soil by three phosphorus sources. Those phosphorus sources, we teased out two of the manures from that four diet study, where we're looking at, in green, the standard phosphorus, the manure from the standard phosphorus diet, which yielded the 21.7 grams of phosphorus per kilogram of manure and yielded a calcium to phosphorus ratio of 5. The next manure we selected was a low phosphorus diet manure, which yielded just under 16 grams of phosphorus per kilogram of manure and had a higher calcium to phosphorus ratio at 7. We compared these two manure sources to commercial synthetic fertilizer, triple superphosphate, which will continue to be purple throughout the presentation. I'll refer to as TSP. And just for a reference, the calcium to phosphorus ratio in TSP is 0.6, so not nearly as much calcium is being added to these systems. To make a point here, we made adjustments for nitrogen applications. We've talked about with Amy's talk as well. We have a target of 50 milligrams of nitrogen per kilogram of soil. So in the two manure sources, we assumed 50% was available. And what was different from that, we added ammonium nitrate to realize the 50 milligrams of nitrogen per kilogram of soil. With the triple superphosphate in the control, all the nitrogen was supplied by ammonium nitrate. Further, at this point, I just have one example. We have the 7.5 milligram phosphorus rate along the three phosphorus sources, where we have the manure of standard phosphorus diet. We have 4.8 milligrams of nitrogen is considered available, so we added the equivalent amount of 45.2 milligrams of ammonium nitrate nitrogen. Similarly, we made the adjustments for the manure of the low phosphorus diet. And of course, triple superphosphate has no nitrogen in it, so all the nitrogen came from the ammonium nitrate. Another point, with those calcium to phosphorus ratios being quite different, we see additions in this particular example of calcium, 37 milligrams of calcium being added with the manure from the standard phosphorus diet, and then 52 from the low phosphorus diet, and only 4.5 from the triple superphosphate. We collected a number of data points looking at plant growth, heights, nodes, leaf area. We also looked at biomass and tissue analysis, where we partitioned the roots, tissues, and stalks. And finally, we also analyzed the soil for water-soluble phosphorus, malic three extractable nutrients, and pH. All the data I'll be presenting today will represent the end of the study, the 28 days after emergence. To lay this slide out, and the following slides will be very similar, we'll continue with the green representing manure from the standard phosphorus diet, yellow from the low phosphorus diet, triple superphosphate is the purple, and the untreated control will be a sky blue. Across the x-axis, we have the phosphorus rate going from 7.5 up to 60 milligrams, and the dependent variable will be on the y-axis. And in this case, we're looking at height 28 days after emergence of the corn. And we see no differences among phosphorus sources, but as phosphorus rate increases, we do see an increase in height. So this soil is a low phosphorus soil. It is seeing a response by the plant. To look at this visually, I have one picture in particular looking at the manure source low phosphorus diet, and we see again that linear increase in height with the plants themselves, as we saw in the data graph as well. The standard phosphorus manure and the triple superphosphate look very similar, And I also like to point out that the above ground biomass and the leaf area were no different among phosphorus sources within phosphorus rate. And you might be wondering, what's the phosphorus level in the soil itself? We saw no differences among phosphorus sources, but as phosphorus rate increased, we did see a similar increase in the rate and the concentration in the soil. So one would think that there's really no differences that will show up. However, we see differences in total phosphorus accumulation. The manures have the same phosphorus accumulation, whereas triple superphosphate begins to level off by the time it reaches 60 milligrams of phosphorus. And when I talk about total phosphorus, I'm talking about phosphorus in the above ground and below ground biomass multiplied by the phosphorus concentration. Another point, the above ground phosphorus uptake or accumulation showed very similar trends as this. So we're seeing a little difference between the manures and the triple superphosphate. To kind of go further and see what's really causing this difference when we saw nothing in the above ground, we decided to look at the root dry weight. And looking at this biomass, we see that the manures begin to separate and increase in amount of biomass compared to the triple superphosphate. At 30, there's no differences, but you see the separation begin, and then by the time it reaches the 60 milligram phosphorus rate, we see the two manures are much higher in root dry weight than the triple superphosphate. So the question arises, why do we see root dry weight increase with the manure source? Potentially, the manure supplied a greater amount of phosphorus than the nutrient analysis determined, perhaps. Another option, maybe the manure supplied additional calcium that promoted root development. In either case, both would increase phosphorus uptake through root interception. And I contend that it's more of the additional calcium caused greater root development. And we see this when we look at root calcium accumulation across the phosphorus rates. Very clearly, you see the yellow line, the manure from the low phosphorus diet, break away at 30 milligrams of phosphorus and at 60 milligrams of phosphorus rate. And seeing this break, we see that we have a greater accumulation of calcium, you have greater accumulation, you have greater root expansion and exploration of that soil, possibly leading to increased phosphorus uptake. I think this is part of the story. I think the next factor that kind of nails it down is the soil pH. Looking at what has happened as we have increased the phosphorus rate. All right. Again, we have the phosphorus rate on the x-axis and then the pH on the y-axis. We see in yellow the manure from the low phosphorus diet, the one that had the higher calcium to phosphorus ratio of 7, increase in pH as we go through time with the rate. We see a very similar increase in the manure from the standard phosphorus diet, but not nearly as strong. So basically, we have a pH of 5.9 at the low rate of phosphorus. And when you go to the higher rate, we have a pH of 6.3, a 0.4 pH unit increase in 28 days. So we're going closer to the 6.5 pH where phosphorus is readily available and soluble. And so I think we're seeing a combination of high solubility of the phosphorus and availability to the plant. So in conclusion, when we look at the manures compared to the triple superphosphate, we have equal above ground growth, but we see greater root biomass and greater phosphorus accumulation from the two manures. Looking at the pH, we see a pH rate response from the manures. As you increase the amount of manure applied, we see increases in the pH, where the manure from the low phosphorus diet yielded a higher pH than the manure from the standard phosphorus diet. So what are some of the agronomic and environmental implications of this or impacts? We see that manure phosphorus concentration is reduced while corn phosphorus availability is maintained and even potentially increased. And so if we apply on a nitrogen basis, we're going to reduce the phosphorus inputs on the land. We're seeing an enhanced rooting either through a calcium or pH effect, potentially both. If you have that increased rooting, you potentially have increased nutrient uptake and water uptake. That could potentially increase yield, and so we'll look at that in the field. And then finally, you have a liming effect, which is advantageous for the farmers. And with that, I'd like to acknowledge my coworkers and just cooperators, and I'll be happy to entertain any questions.
Maybe we can hold for the break time to ask some questions.
Thanks, Sean.